my life long I had panted for a drink from some cold spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone. Long my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved. Through his blood I now am saved.
Got it. Hallelujah. Through his blood I now am saved. For those of you who are paying attention to the world news, in China, they have forbidden Christian funerals and Christian weddings. So how would you like to live in China? It'd be exciting, wouldn't it? And here, we had the same problem a month or two ago, right? Couldn't get married to only 5-10 people. We couldn't have a funeral. How many old folks died without their friends or family at their side? We don't even know. And how many died needlessly? But if they're ready to go home, that's all that matters. That's all that counts. The question is, are we ready to go home? I heard something interesting. I was watching, of course, Fox News. And Sean Hannity was interviewing Lindsey Graham. How many of you know that guy? He's one of the senators. And they were talking about the corruption of the FBI and the CIA and all the government people. And Sean Hannity said, that makes me mad. And Lindsey Graham said, wait a couple of weeks. You're going to really be mad when you hear what will come out. And what will come out is the horrifying pedophilia. If anybody knows what that is going on all over basically the world. And God is shutting it down. Many of those, since they've caught Mr. Epstein's girlfriend, many of those young kids are now being rescued from all over the place by the hundreds. What are they doing with those kids? your imaginations don't even want to go there. So we leave it for God to make sure that they get justice. But this is, the Bible teaches us, what is done in secret is going to be shouted from the rooftops. Hallelujah. How many of you ever saw those dishes on the rooftops? That's how people get to hear about that stuff. Interesting, isn't it? So God has a way of revealing all of this. And today I want to teach on an interesting message on once saved, always saved, or eternal security from a different point of view. How do I know I'm saved? What keeps me in being saved? Is it my strength? Is it my determination to hang on for dear life? If that would be my only protection, I would have to say, I'm sorry, I don't know if I'll make it, because we all fail miserably. If it would depend on me to keep my salvation, I'm going to really pinpoint today on what keeps us. Maybe some of you don't know about it. Maybe some of you have read about it. For those of you on the internet, you need to read and study your word and find out what true tranquility is. The Apostle Paul made it very simple. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, not having my faith in my own self, but in him who has done all this for me. This is what everybody needs to understand. Religion goes like this. What can I do for God? So they're forever trying to somehow please God. So they make laws, rules, regulations, what type of clothes to wear, what to say, how long to pray, how to do this, how to do this. There's some that even say we need to get baptized to be born again. No. Water baptism is just a sign that you have now become a Christian. But the truth is, Christianity says this. It's not what I do for Jesus. It's what Jesus did for me. Hallelujah. Anybody agree on that? Anybody who understands himself? I agree 100% because I've looked into the mirror and I saw who I am. The Bible teaches us that we are but almost like a smoke in the wind. When the wind comes along, we're blown away and there's nothing left. But in Christ Jesus, we stand. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, you will open people's hearts today to understand so that they'll find the freedom that they're looking for and that you want them to have. Lord, it's not religion, it's Christianity, it's a relationship. And Heavenly Father, only if we have that relationship, you start revealing those incredible truths and freedoms. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. For people who are bound by any anxiety, fear, stress, whatever it is, your background, your childhood, or whatever it is, you need to be set free from it and you need to start living for the Lord. And I'm not talking about a religious walk. I'm talking about a me and you walk, me and Jesus alone. Not me and my wife and Jesus, me and Jesus alone. And that goes for everyone. Once you have that relationship with God, once you know him, then you're at peace wherever you are. The Apostle Paul looked out from between those bars in his prison cell and said, I am content wherever I am. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that interesting? Now, I want to get to the point, what keeps us in Christ Jesus? Is it our goodness? Is it our ability to hang in there for dear life, like this song goes, hold the fort for I am coming. Hang on for dear life. I'm coming. Wait. Don't give up. No, it's not like this. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. There's Simon Peter bragging about how strong he was. Interesting character if you study Simon Peter from the 12 apostles. Well, when he and Judas sinned, Judas sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Simon Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And when you study it, he even swore or cursed that he didn't know this guy. Can you imagine that? When I think of it, I cringe. Can you imagine cursing? I don't know that guy. I don't know who he is. Help me, God. And then before that happened, something happened that kept Simon Peter from going and hanging himself, which I would say he had as much reason to as Judas Iscariot. The Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But here's the catch. I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Here is what keeps us. Anybody who is born again by the Spirit of God, anybody who trusts in Jesus, you do not keep yourself. You are kept by the prayer of Jesus. I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. That is the difference between Simon Peter and Judas Iscariot. It is the prayer of Jesus praying for Simon Peter. When you study how Simon Peter was, he was a braggart. He liked to be in front of everything. And the Lord proved it to him. When the chips are going to be down, you will fail. And he did. And it was the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ that kept him from going out from amongst God. Isn't that awesome? This is what we are depending on. We do not depend on assurance of salvation because we're so faithful to God, or because we are so religious, or because we are so strong in our faith. We depend on our salvation being kept by the prayers of Jesus. And I'll prove it to you in Scripture, where he's still praying for those who have turned to him. But before we get into the prayers of Jesus, we have to do some of our part so that at least we can be assured in our hearts we don't fall to pieces. God will keep us, but that doesn't mean that some of us, and many of us, as I see, when you see the coronavirus, when you see people wearing masks, they're so scared of dying. I wonder why. Dying is something that is to be looked forward to, because then it's eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal glory. Never mind putting up with a government that tries to dominate you. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, wherefore, take you on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth. You gotta have the truth. What is truth? It's the word of God. And having the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? The righteousness of God is what? Faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that you're right by that, not by the good things that you're doing. You have been made righteous because of what Jesus did. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You should always be ready to bring forth the peace and the gospel to those who want to know about it. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherefore with you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation, knowing up here that you're saved and knowing in here that you're saved. The shield of faith, knowing that you are secure. Our part is to simply believe what Jesus did for us. That's all it takes. I've heard people have written me, how do you put on the whole armor of God? Every morning when you get up, you put on the shield and so you take the sword and you do this and you do that. No. Once you become born again by the Spirit of God, then start studying the Word and put that armor on and never ever take it off again. Some people think you have to put it on in the morning. Most spiritual attacks come during the night. You got to be fully armored. When you are with God, just stick it on. Put it on yourself. When you get attacked from Satan or from somebody else, you stand because of what Jesus did for you. How do you know that? The helmet of salvation. You know you're saved. The word of God, it tells us you're saved. And then the breastplate of righteousness. I know I'm right. Satan cannot accuse me in any way. Am I right because of the good person I am? Of course not. It's because how good and holy and true Jesus was. He came to fulfill the law in me. He fulfilled it by exchanging his righteousness for my wickedness. What a deal, hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Has God exchanged his righteousness for your wickedness? Talk to yourself a little bit. Has God actually exchanged his righteousness with me for my wickedness? He did with me, hallelujah. That's why I can stand here and preach this, because I'm assured in my heart that this is what he did. I have learned to believe in the finished work of the cross and in the written word. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us in verse 18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications of the saints. You have to watch out for one another, pray for one another, instead of bringing out our shortcomings. It's good that we hide other people's, other saints' sins. We don't bring them out and broadcast them. We pray for them and cover them. Sure, go to the person, talk to him if you feel you have to, but don't spread it all over the world. It says praying all with all supplication in the Spirit. Here's a sticky one for a lot of Christian. Praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. What's the difference in praying in tongues and praying with your understanding? When you pray in tongues, then Holy Spirit prays through you. You may be even praying for maybe a person like, who's the worst one you can think of? Obama. You might be even praying for him. Lord, reward him according to his words. Works, that's how I pray for him. And he's out to steal, kill, and to destroy, so that's not a very gentle prayer for him. But when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit knows what to do and what to pray for. When we pray for somebody, it's usually me, myself, and I, and the ones that are around me. I always say this, if you pray in tongues, you have a skill saw instead of a handsaw. And we know how fast the skill saw works. We're all carpenters and farmers. You can zip through that plywood in about a second or two, where with a handsaw, you stand there. That's the English prayer. That's the German prayer. That's the prayer in your own language. Yes, you'll get to it. You'll get it done if you have patience enough. God will hear you. Don't worry. But he tells us there's an easier way. I want you to be relaxed. I want you to just be there for me. When you study the Old Testament, something is very interesting. When God wants to decree a judgment on any nation, he doesn't say, I decree a judgment on those people. He gets somebody to prophesy that is made of human flesh. And that guy speaks the word of God against that nation. Or even if he wants somebody to bless somebody, he uses the flesh, the person, to bless that person. This is how God works. He gives this job to us. So with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, let's make intercessions for the saints. Now listen to John chapter 17. That's where the prayer come in. Jesus says, I pray for them. He's talking about his disciples. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. And I've studied this. Why doesn't God pray for the world? Because he has given that job to us. If we want to pray for the world, pray in tongues. And it'll automatically happen because he has to use you to pray for the world, just like he has to use a prophet to pronounce judgment on the world. So I pray not for the world, that's our job, but for them that thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. You may tell me, oh, he was talking about his disciples. His disciples were good people. Yes, I bet they were. Just study their histories a little bit. But to make sure you understand, he wasn't just talking about his disciples. Let's see John chapter 17 in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Isn't that awesome? So we're included in this. What are we included in? I pray for them. But for they, I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. How did God give them to him? Through the blood of Jesus that he sacrificed for them on the cross. For they are thine, and all mine are thine. Thine, and I am glorified in them. So we belong to God. He prayed for us 2,000 years ago, and that prayer is going to stand before God. Remember when he prayed for Peter? He said, I pray that your faith will not fail. This is exactly what he's doing right now to all of us. How do I know that? Romans chapter 8 in verse 33. Listen to this one. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. And what is he doing there? He is making intercession for us. This is what I like. If I fail, I got an advocate with the Father, standing there at the sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. So Satan, I got news for you. Regardless what accusations you got against me, I got a good lawyer. Let me tell you, no lawyer on this planet can even come close to him. He is standing in the gap for me, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. And that goes to all who have turned to this Jesus, who have accepted the blood sacrifice for their salvation. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing, regeneration of the Holy Ghost. That's how it's done. It's not by going to church and being a goody-two-shoes. Of course, try to be a goody-two-shoes as much as you can. Just don't get proud in it. That's a sin if you do. But let me tell you, God loves you. He is willing that none perish. We have been created for his pleasure. Not for him to order around, but for his pleasure. And if we stand in that and we see the heart of God in that, we've got it made. It'll bring freedom to our hearts. So where is Jesus now? He is interceding for me, even right now, when I use a cuss word or when I do something wrong or have a wrong thought. You know how it is. We're all human beings, and we've all been teenagers. We do strange and stupid things. Guess what? Jesus is interceding even for the teenager who seems to think he knows everything. Hallelujah, God, you're such a great God. You let us grow up and come to ourselves, and then we can say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you did. It's not my works, but your works that made me come through this. When I think back, you can give God a good clap. When I think back when I was a teenager, sometimes at night, my hair starts to stiffen and wave because I knew what danger I was in. Of not only danger of dying, but falling into gross sin that would maybe haunt me for the rest of my life. God kept me from it. When I think back of the pride that I had as a teenager, I knew everything. Nobody could tell me nothing. I thank God that God finally showed me I was just a normal human being, fallen from grace and needing grace, and God opening your heart to his love and his truth. Oh, yes, God knows us. He knows every thought you're ever going to think. He knows everything you're ever going to do or did do or will do. So God knows it. Don't have any secrets with God. That's what I had. Since I've become a Christian, I had secrets from my wife. I had secrets from my friends. But I never had a secret between me and God. And what a life savior that is, let me tell you. You can rejoice in Jesus when you don't have secrets with him. Romans chapter 8, I want you to listen to this closely. Who shall, in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. How are we conquerors? Through him. Hallelujah. For I am persuaded. I love the way the Apostle Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Things to come, that's future. Things that'll happen. People have asked me, if a Christian commits suicide, has he lost his salvation? Now, don't go commit suicide, any of you. If you are a Christian, it tells us the love of God will not lose you in the things that are to come. So think about that. He loves you in that, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. It says, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature, nor any other creature. Who is the creature? Satan himself cannot separate you from the love that Jesus has towards us. They shall not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. So I said all this to come to this. Have a relationship with the Lord, and you will find these things in the Word of God if you study the Word of God. And as you study and read, the revelation will hit you and hit you and hit you. There's going to come a time when you'll have the peace that passes all understanding. You're going to stand peaceful. I'm not saying about not being anxious, but you'll stand peaceful in the worst thing that can come against you. Why? Singing for joy, shouting for joy. I want to share a little bit about the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm content in whatever state I am in. And finally, when they let him out to chop off his head, what did he say? Please don't do it. No, he said, I am now ready to be offered. For now, I am going to that incredible place. There is laid up a crown of righteousness for me, and not for me only, but for all them that love is appearing. Would you love Jesus to come back right now? That's been my prayer since I've been a Christian. Hallelujah. Come today, Lord Jesus, quickly. Never mind, hold the fort. Come today, Lord Jesus. I love his appearing. I do rapture exercises every day. I jump up in the air, and some of these days I'll keep going up. Hallelujah. One of these days it'll come, sure as I'm standing here. That time will come. It'll happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed instantly. Boom, a new body. We'll be able to eat. We'll be able to walk through walls. We'll be able to do whatever we want to do, because we will have these glorified bodies. And then the Bible teaches us we'll be taken up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our eternity. That's waiting for us. I don't care how bad you were, how much sin you were into. There is no sin that God cannot forgive. God wants you to understand he created you because he loves you. And he wants you to turn to him, for he said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Just come. Hey, you don't have to be religious. You don't have to be a goody-two-shoes. You don't even have to have a nice-sounding prayer. Just come the way you are, and I'll take you the way you are. The Bible teaches us this. Repent. That means turn around from the way you thought you should. It's not saying quit all your singing. Turn around. Turn to Jesus. Never mind, I'm going to get saved by the church I'm in, by the Bible study I'm doing, by the religion I'm in. No. Turn around. Turn to Jesus. If you don't, if you have anything except Jesus, you're not going to fit through that door. Then you're converted. He converts you. He doesn't remake you. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And where there is a new creation in Christ, there is no sin, because your sins are going to lose gravity and simply disappear because Jesus took care of them. This is what happened to me. Hallelujah. I can stand here and brag about what Jesus did for me, and I enjoy bragging about it. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a braggart in Christ Jesus. Tell him, tell people everywhere how good he is and how perfect and pure he is. We thank you for the listening today. Take it home. Hold it in your heart. Don't allow this message to escape. God wants you to be free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, and the Lord bless you. Amen.
I can tell what's deep inside Earth's buried caverns. I've only read about their jewels, rich and rare. I've not explored the depths of any ocean. But if you want to meet the Savior, I've been there. When you're ready to meet Jesus, come. sick of sin and longing to be free, to be free. When you need a love that's so much deeper than your deepest sin, when you're ready to come home again, no matter where you've been, when you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me, come see me. I've not walked or talked with Earth's most famous statesmen, and chances that I'll never meet them all are dim. Oh, but if you like to know the King of Glory, I can take you to meet Jesus, for I know him. When you're ready to meet Jesus, come see me, come see me. When you're sick of sin and longing to be free, to be free. When you need a love that's so much deeper than your deepest sin, when you're ready to come home again, no matter what.